From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
From our secret NPR studio lair perched above Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. News, information, libertarians. Hey, what more do you want? I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Mike Pesca. It is Friday.
It
we
is
have confirmed
Friday.
That. Two source confirmation. It is Friday, May 23rd, 2008. Glad we speak of libertarians because you have tracked Ron Paul like Ahab tracked the white whale, like Gustav Olofsson once tracked the Yeti. What did you find?
I found a man completely stunned by his success. Here's a man who is confused at every day that people show up to see him, that people send him millions of dollars on the internet. And every time I've ever talked to him, and I followed him through New Hampshire and I saw him in Pennsylvania, every time I've followed him, I pulled him aside and been like, how do you explain all this? And he's like, I don't know. You know, it's the power of his ideas, and kids treat him like he's a rock star. And
Libertarian kids. Yeah, yeah.
Which could be all kids. Actually, I was pointing out once, I was at a high school, and I was looking around, and the kids were cheering him on, actual teenagers. And I'm like, you know what? The teenage philosophy is the libertarian philosophy, which is, you know, leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah,
let me do
yeah.
what I want to do. Don't be my mom and dad all the time, government.
Hate your parents, be a libertarian.
I think it's their new advertising
But Ron
campaign.
Paul ain't a libertarian. I mean, he has those beliefs, but he's not in the political party, the libertarians. And that party is meeting in Denver this weekend.
Without him?
Right, to pick its presidential candidate. So it might be a guy like Bob Barr from Georgia or Mike Gravel from the internet and before that, Alaska. And so we'll get a view of the Libertarian Convention from the folks at Reason Magazine.
Speaking of teenagers these days, you know, not so smart. At least that's what an English professor says at Emory University. A brainiac's down there at Emory.
No, not that good of school.
He's the author.
I went there.
Yes, exactly. Mike Pesca shows you what you get out of Emory. We're going to talk to the author of The Dumbest Generation, and we'll chat with him in just a minute.
And new movie releases. The big one this weekend is dun-dun-dun-dun, the new Indiana Jones movie. Daniel Holloway, our friend from Us Weekly and Metro Newspapers, is here with a review. We'll get today's headlines in just a minute, but first, a breakthrough in Myanmar. 3 weeks after Cyclone Nargis struck, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says the ruling junta has agreed today to allow all aid workers into the country to help cyclone survivors.
The Secretary General spent more than 2 hours meeting with Senior General Tan Shwe, the most powerful figure in the country, also known as Burma. The UN chief says he also secured permission to use Yangon Airport as a logistical hub for humanitarian relief.
It's a welcome sign for international aid workers whose efforts have been largely stifled by Myanmar's military regime. A senior UN official says the junta has agreed to let foreign aid workers have access to the hardest hit areas of the Irrawaddy Delta. But there's been no confirmation from the government.
The BBC's Jonathan Head is in neighboring Thailand. He says Bond's announcement is being met with caution.
The statement that Ban Ki-moon gave when he came out was all aid workers, but you know, this is a very general phrase, and we're dealing with a government that we know is intensely suspicious of the idea of giving foreigners free rein or free movement in Burma. They've never done it before, and which has a track record of offering things to the United Nations and then withdrawing them, aware lots of misunderstandings over what's promised. So I think everyone, including Ban Ki-moon, is going to be very cautious at this stage. When he was asked if this was a breakthrough, he simply said, I think so.
The Secretary General has gone to great pains to assure Myanmar's leaders that if they open their borders for aid, they aren't opening themselves to political unrest. Here's Bon on Wednesday in Bangkok as he prepared to travel to Myanmar.
Aid in Myanmar should not be politicized. Our focus now is on saving lives.
But the BBC's Head says Myanmar's rulers remain skeptical.
I think they genuinely fear that once you open the door to large numbers of foreigners, you internationalize the situation in the Delta, they're going to lose control of it. Their mindset is one of obsessive control. They think always in terms of security first. But the implications for Burma, if they do allow large numbers of foreigners in, are probably quite significant. It could actually bring about significant changes that we can't predict.
Cyclone Nargis killed at least 78,000 people. Another 56,000 are missing, with some 2.5 million survivors at risk of disease, starvation, and exposure to monsoon rains.
You can go to NPR.org throughout the day for updates on this story. Now let's get some more of today's headlines with the BPP's Mark Garrison.